Warning, the following program is designed for casual wrestling fans and is meant purely for entertainment. If you're SAWFT, proceed at your own risk. Viewer discretion is advised.
Bad guy, asshole, people call me lots of names. Damn, I laugh so hard because they're all the same. Pack my ammo, trigger happy feeling grace. Can't lie, man's won't ever change. Send me to piss the world off. You mad, just admit it, you mad. Crucify me because the world's soft. And it's sad, this is all that you
have. And what is good, everybody? It is your boy, We Too Deep. We are back with another episode of the Slapping Meat Wrestling Podcast. Hope everyone's having a great week. It is the Friday episode. It is the episode where I come on and just rant about things that I would love to rant about. As always, before we jump in, go down to the description page and click that Discord link. Join the Discord. Join the conversation about the podcast, about the world of wrestling. We would love to have you there. As well as our affiliate links are there. If you are going to buy some new WWE shop merchandise, click that link. Make your purchase through that link, and it will help support the podcast. Same with the Expedia link. If you're going on a trip, spring break's around the corner. If you're going on a trip, click that link in the description page. Book your flights, your hotels, your rental cars, your whole trip through that Expedia link. We'll get a percentage of that purchase as well. So now let's jump in. Let's jump on in. We got a lot of news to talk about. I'm going to give some thoughts on NXT, some thoughts on AEW. And then we'll do our standard react to that thing. Right. So let's start with sort of the main topic today. And that is the title of the episode, Multi-Man Mania. Triple H's booking to WrestleMania appears to be, the idea is to get as many multi-man matches on the card as possible. That instead of booking interesting stories for everyone, we're just going to make a bunch of multi-man matches. So look at what we have, right? We have Reigns and Rollins and Punk. There's one. We have Bianca and Rhea and Io. There's two. It appears the mid-card, both U.S. and Intercontinental pictures, will be multi-man matches at WrestleMania, with the IC being probably Braun, Penta, Dominic Mysterio, and Finn Balor. There's three. You have the U.S. title picture, which appears like we're going to have LA Knight, Jimmy Uso, Solo, Jacob Fatu, or those they are now in that picture rather than being their own separate match, which would have been interesting. Now it appears like maybe they're going to go for the U.S. Championship. Braun Strowman's in the picture. We don't know about Carmelo Hayes. We don't know where Andrade went. Those two disappeared. Santos Escobar, what's his role in this? And this appears like there's the fourth multi-man match. Right. it appears like we're going to get a multi-man tag team match on the SmackDown side, probably like a 4 or 5 team match at Mania. With in that picture, there's 5. This overabundance of we're just going to get guys on the card by putting everyone in multi-man matches. Guys, it's a lazy booking. It's a lazy booking. That's all it is. This isn't genius. This is lazy booking. It's that Triple H didn't have anything. So I'm going to rebook. I'm going to rebook Mania, and I'm going to tell you how it's going to be a lot more interesting. Right? Especially if you're going to do over 2 nights. Look, I get your formula, Triple H. 5 match cards on standard pay-per-views work. They do. But when you're talking about WrestleMania, right? I understand you don't want to have like 20 matches. Understand. Completely understand that. But we could do like 14. We could do 7 a night. Right? I'd even be okay with like 20. Like, I wouldn't have an issue with 20 matches over 2 nights. I wouldn't. Because it is WrestleMania. And I understand the idea that you're supposed to earn your place in the card. Not right. But I don't actually agree with that. I think if you're telling me stories, like this isn't a sports competition, right? I think a lot of times casual fans get into the mode of trying to treat wrestling like a sport, and therefore you, in order to be on WrestleMania, you have to earn that you've, right? Now, with that being said, like Natalya shouldn't be on the card because Natalya hasn't been seen in 6 months. But if you have a story for Natalya that leads the last 3 months into WrestleMania, then she obviously should be on the card, right? So I'm not saying, like, I'm not of the opinion that we need, you know, 10 matches over 2 nights and you have to earn your place. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I believe if you as a producer, and that's where Triple H and the producers backstage will be on the hook for this. If you create compelling stories, you can do 20 matches and people will love to pay attention to that for this grand event only, right? Now, you don't want to do that every single PLE have 10 matches a night. Absolutely not. But for something like WrestleMania, where it's the grand event, it's over 2 nights, you can do 10 matches a night. And I think people will, if the storyline is there, because that's what the complaint has always been, is there's no storyline. That a lot of these matches, especially towards the end of Vince McMahon's tenure as head booker, there it was just random booked bull crap. It was bad. It was awful. There was no actual sense, logical storyline, right? And so as a producer, your job is to make me care about these characters. So if you tell me stories, we could get really good storylines and still have 20 matches that all of them feel important. So let, and then now I don't, 20 is a high number, but I think the sweet spot for Mania is somewhere around 14 to 16 matches over the 2 nights. I think that's the sweet spot. 7 or 8 matches a night. I think that'll be the sweet spot. So what I want to do, I want to go ahead and rebook WrestleMania. Because I don't like multi-man matches. I'm just going to be honest. I find it very lazy. I find that you could break a lot of these up and get interesting stories outside of this. So that's what I want to do. I want to go down real quick, take a few minutes. How would I change WrestleMania? How would We Too Deep book WrestleMania? Right? So let's start at the top of the card with the champion, the main world champions, right? Let's start with Cody Rhodes. Right? If I was booking, Cody Rhodes would be facing Jey Uso. 100%. 100%. Cody Rhodes would be facing Jey Uso. I think that's a more compelling story. I think that immediately turns into a story in which Jey Uso wins the title. Roman Reigns comes after him. I've already explained it. Congratulations, Oos. You brought the title back to the family. Now hand it over to the tribal chief. Jay says no. There's your feud of the summer that leads to SummerSlam, where Jay Uso beats Roman Reigns one-on-one, retains the title. And Roman Reigns, you could have it be like if Roman loses, he's no longer tribal chief. Right? And then that goes full circle, ends Roman Reigns's. I mean, he could leave, honestly. We wouldn't need Roman back. And I hate to say it that way, but I don't think Roman's useful to the WWE anymore. I think he's overserved his time. I love Roman. He is on a part-time basis now, though. He's going to be one of those, like a Brock Lesnar type character now, where when he comes back, okay, cool, it's great. We don't necessarily need him on the product anymore. I think the need for Roman Reigns left when he lost the title. So I would have done Cody versus Jay, Gunther versus John Cena. So the four players involved, 100% agree with them. I just think the world title pictures are mixed up. Gunther versus Cena, especially with this form of Cena. I don't know what it is, but part of me feels like this form of Cena, right? But I wouldn't have had Cena turn heel. I just wouldn't, right? I feel like Cena is the perfect opponent for Gunther to come in. What was Gunther's little shtick the last 6 months, right? He stepped up to Brett. He stepped up to Goldberg. Well, he's stepping up to former wrestlers who were all about their entrance. I mean, not really. I mean, Bret Hart was good in the ring, right? But he stepped up to former guys who were at the top of the game at one point and said he was better than them. Well, Cena could come in, right? Say, if you think you're better than them, Bret can't wrestle. Goldberg's not ready to be in the ring. I am. Fight me. Right? I think a heel or a babyface Cena, like super babyface Cena, going against this style of gimmick, which Cena has done in the past with someone like Rusev, right? I think it 100% would be the best place to put Cena, would be against Gunther. And then you could have Cena, like, I know it's only 2 weeks. I don't like heel Cena, right? I don't like heel Cena. It just doesn't work for me. And it's one of those things where, like, we're 2 weeks in and we have got zero information that I want. Like, I don't care about Cena turning on the fans. Come on, man. That's elementary level. That's elementary level booking. I want to know, why did you join The Rock? What is that purpose? Right? You never mentioned The Rock in any of your two promos. I want to know why you teamed up with The Rock. What was that purpose? Right? And if you don't give me that, because I'm telling you, I just have a feeling that's never going to be mentioned. And so I'm left here with this plot hole. This is a Bruce Pritchard specialty, where these type of plot holes just don't get filled. I need to know why you joined with The Rock. What was that whole purpose? Because that happened. John Cena, you didn't turn on the fans. You turned on Cody Rhodes and you sold your soul to The Rock. I want to know why you did that. That's the gaping plot hole right now that hasn't been mentioned in over a month. It's been 27 days since it happened. We haven't heard a word about it. We haven't seen The Rock since then. Why did that happen? That's what I need filled in if you want me to buy into the storyline. We could have avoided all of that if you just did Jay versus Cody, Gunther versus Cena, right? Right, so you go to the women's main titles, right? Charlotte versus Tiffany is fine. The only thing I would change is the casting. I don't think Charlotte should be the heel in this story. I think she should come back as the babyface who won the Rumble after, you know, after the rehab, and we see the journey, we feel for her, and her career almost ended at the peak of its, and so she's back to claim her throne, and then Tiffany Stratton being the bitchy, you know, bold, confident heel that, you know, your time has passed, it's my time now, I'm younger, I'm hotter, I'm more athletic than you, Charlotte, you're no longer needed here. That would have been better booking, right? And then Charlotte either wins the title and then turns heel, or her losing at Mania, which is what I would do, then turns her heel. She realizes she can't be the sympathetic, you know, play to the crowd. She's got to get back on her game, and that's what makes her the heel, right? That's what I would have done. I think the casting of the characters in terms of the roles they're playing, Charlotte versus Tiffany should have been the match. I've been calling this for over 6 months. I like the match. I just think they're in the wrong roles. As for the Raw Women's, the World Women's Champion, Rhea versus Bianca. I've been calling that for damn near 5 months now, that should be the match. Right? Get EO out of there. EO go somewhere else, and I'll explain where EO should be here in a minute. But Rhea versus Bianca should be the story, and it doesn't need a lot of story. You can do dream matches. Like, casual fans are scared of the term dream match because AEW used it so often, and it meant so little. But this is a dream match. It doesn't need a story for it to happen. It's just a battle of the Titans, right? And I'm fine with the story just being Bianca won Elimination Chamber, so she gets a title match, right? That's fine to be the story because it's just transitional to get the belt on Bianca for the bigger story, which is Bianca versus Jade, which can happen in 3.5 months at SummerSlam, where you can build a story in 3.5 months to get to SummerSlam, right? Because the ultimate goal is to get the belt on Jade at SummerSlam. So that when you get back to Mania 42, now you get the ultimate storyline of Rhea versus Jade. Because that's really Titan versus Titan. Right? I think you can go full circle and do that type of booking. Right? So there's your top four matches with a lot less convoluted bullshit if you just do Jay versus Cody, Cena versus Gunther, Rhea versus Bianca, Tiffany versus Charlotte with the roles swapped. Well, now you get to the mid-card. Well, let's start with sort of the non-title grudge matches. Okay, Logan Paul versus AJ Styles, I'm fine with. If that actually gets confirmed, I'm fine with that booking. You're not going to get a complaint out of me. I think that'd be a great match. But you got the convoluted mess that is Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, and CM Punk. You end that by doing Punk versus Rollins, ending that feud. Okay, well, what about Roman? Well, Roman was sort of in a feud. He had a feud going before the Rumble started with him and Drew. And Drew, because Drew's whole story leading up to Royal Rumble, ending with he ended the Punk story, and his entire character was what? His entire character was, I got to go after the guys who helped Roman Reigns steal the title from me. So Solo, the Bloodline, that family, I got to attack all of them. And then also everyone that sided with them, Cody, Sammy, and the like, right? So the story could be Drew versus Roman, right? Drew could go over Roman here. And then, you know, he can either pick back up with Sammy after Mania. He could go after Solo, which should be the guy he goes after because he's the one that pulled him out of the ring at Clash of Champions or Clash of the Castle, right? So then he could build that story. And then when Jay and Roman's done at SummerSlam, as you head into Clash at Paris in August, at the end of August. So you're probably going to have SummerSlam beginning of August, end of July. The next PLEF, that would be Clash at Paris. And what you could end up doing is Jay versus Drew for the title, where Drew can win the title back. Jay doesn't need a long title run. I don't think it should be super long. That could have been the booking, where Drew starts to take on the guys who cost him the title at Clash at the Castle. So he beats Roman at Mania, beats Solo at a Backlash, or Jacob Fatu at Crown Jewel. Maybe something with, you could even have him face Tama Tonga at like Money in the Bank or something, or have Drew in the Money in the Bank match, where he ends up losing the Money in the Bank, right? And then you get the SummerSlam, where he challenges Jay. You get the SummerSlam, have him have a feud somewhere. Maybe it's Solo again, because you could do two Solo matches. That's fine, right? And then ultimately you get the Clash at Paris, where he challenges his Jay and wins the title. And again, you do full circle type storytelling, right? You see what I'm saying? That's the type of because that's what long-term booking is. That's what booking with a plan and purpose looks like. Triple H doesn't do that. He wants to make you believe he does that, but he doesn't. I don't book matches at Mania just for Mania. I book matches at Mania. You just saw how my brain works. I book matches at Mania, and I extend it out to SummerSlam. How is the result at Mania going to lead me to SummerSlam and then further beyond? That's the what's next that I talk about when I say, okay, what's next for Jey Uso after he beats Gunther? What's the what's next? I don't think Triple H thinks about that. I personally don't. I think what he wants is he wants that result. And once he gets that result, now he's going to have to create something. But I get the result and I think of what's next at the same time. Jey Uso winning a title is fine, but it should be Cody's title, so that leads to him and Roman at SummerSlam, and then leads to Jay versus Drew at Clash at Paris. Right? So then women's mid-card. Right? Well, let's continue more. You got KO and Orton, not going to have a problem with that. So that's fine. So at this point, before we get to the women's mid-card and the men's mid-card titles, the U.S. titles and the tag titles, what do we have right now? In my booking, you would have Cody, Jay, Cena, Gunther, Rhea, Bianca, Tiffany, Charlotte, Roman, Drew, Seth, Punk, AJ versus Logan Paul, Jade versus Naomi. Not going to get a complaint out of that. There's eight matches. Okay, now we get to the mid card. Let's start with the women's. Let's start with the U.S. Chelsea versus... I would have utilized Nikki Bella showing up at Royal Rumble and done Chelsea versus Nikki Bella. That would have been the match. People may not have liked it, but that would have been the match. It would have given some prestige. Hell, I might even have... And go to Nikki, say, hey, can you run... After Mania, can you do, can you get me till Crown Jewel and at the end of May? Can you go another month? Give the title to her, because that's a big name to put on Crown Jewel. It's a big name to put on Crown Jewel. And have her defend the title there and lose it to somebody, but at least that month will give it some. The women's U.S. title has not been booked badly. It's not good, but it hasn't been bad like the Intercontinental title, right? So let's move over to then. So there's match number 9, Chelsea versus Nikki Bella. Match number 10, Lyra Valkyria versus Io Sky. Now I would have had this done differently, right? Looking back at hindsight, I would have had Io Sky be the winner, the first champion for the Women's Intercontinental Champion. I would have Io win that because she immediately gives it prestige. She immediately gives it reason to be on the show. She's right. And the whole purpose of it is then for Mania to be Lyra's moment, where Lyra beats Io for the title, making her feel important. Because right now, Lyra's not important. She's just an afterthought. This title is just an afterthought. So match number 10 would be Io Sky coming into Mania as champion versus Lyra Valkyria for that Women's Intercontinental Championship. A big prestige-making moment where Lyra goes over. And because she goes over, one of the greatest to ever do this in women's wrestling. Right? A lot of people think I hate Io Sky. I don't. I don't think she fits in this storyline. She should not be women's world champion right now. She should be women's intercontinental champion and building that division. And then she gets put, then after she loses that title at Mania, right? Then she could go after the world title, potentially. I think she's better in the mid-card division. I'm just going to be honest with you. She works better. There's a lot more women her size there. She doesn't fit when it comes to when you have a division of big girls, right, where you have Rhea Ripley, Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, even someone like Bayley, Nia Jax. Io Sky just doesn't look that look. And so that there's where I put Io. And it's not a demotion. I think Io is at the top of her game. She's one of the best in the business. But I think she fits better fighting for the IC title, building that up, and putting over Lyra Valkyria, right? And then we end it with the tag teams where you can do let's move to the men's titles. Match 11. Now, I'm okay with multi-man matches when it comes to the IC title picture. I don't hate it. What I hate is that we have five multi-man matches. You should really realistically only have two. And it should be for the men's US and the men's IC. And that's what I do here. Six-man matches for both of them. One could be a ladder match. One could be like a elimination style or who knows, right? Because the U.S. title doesn't have a clear picture, which is fine. But, you know, Jimmy, Damian, you know, this is what I originally had written down for. It was Jimmy Uso, Damian Priest, LA Knight, Shinsuke Nakamura, Carmelo Hayes, and Andrade. That works as a match, right? On the IC side, same thing I had written down. Finn Balor, Bron Breakker, Dominic Mysterio, Penta, Sheamus, and Ludwig. There's your two multi-man matches that are fine to have. You can do both of those. That's great. Another grudge match I forgot about, which would be match 13 at this point, would be Jacob versus Solo. And then you don't put the Raw tag titles because there's no division there. Sorry, it's just not there. So then match 14 would be, I would still have DIY as champion. There was no reason to DIY versus the Street Profits at Mania to give the Street Profits some credibility to win him at Mania with a big moment. That would have been the match, right? Because you could have actually built a story. That's the problem with the mid-card division right now, especially on SmackDown, is you're not building stories. We're just doing matches, right? You're booking like AEW, matches for the sake of matches, and then we'll try to collaborate some story together. But you're just doing matches for the sake of matches on a weekly basis, and it's not working. We want storylines. So that's how you redo Mania. Right? So that there's that. Let's talk about some free agent news, and then we'll break down AEW and NXT. Mariah May is expected to be a free agent by the end of the summer. Guys, if you don't think WWE is not going to try to sign Mariah May, here's the danger. Here's the danger that Tony Khan finds himself in. The one superstar in the last 365 days that he put over, that he made, that we can give Tony Khan credit for, more so I'm going to give Tony Storm credit for, is Mariah May. She went from practical nobody, known by only the weird people who watch Japanese and Shimmer, right? To the biggest free agent name right now. If this report is true and her contract ends in the summer, Mariah May in the last year has made herself a billionaire. I don't know. I literally think Tony Khan's going to have to pay her close to Mercedes Moné type money to keep her. Because I think she wants to be, she's a Triple H super fan. She loves WWE. This is what I'm talking about when I say that the goal for a lot of these independent wrestlers will be WWE and is WWE. This is going to be another example as we head towards that. I don't know the exact timing, but the timing could be great that as we head to the European tour in August to debut Mariah May, I think they're doing a show in the UK. I know they're doing a show in the UK. It's like a house show the same day as All In. Or no, Forbidden Door, excuse me. Same day as Forbidden Door, which is also in the UK. I don't think she debuts at a live event. But I think they're doing a Saturday night's main event around that time. I know they're going to the UK around the same time that Forbidden Door is there. It would be fantastic if her contract's up and WWE signs her. What a way to debut her against AEW. I would do it 100%. This is business. This is war. Right? You don't go, well, right? That's why when these AEW fans complain that, oh, they're loading up Memorial Day weekend. Yeah, welcome to the business. This is war. Your competition. You may not see yourself as competition. You may be an alternative, but your competition, because the competition is every other TV show, every other sports entertainment brand. That's how WWE sees competition. We want to be better than ESPN. We want to be better than the NFL. We want to be better than every other sports entertainment brand out there. So you're in that business. Welcome to business. Yeah, we're going to load up the weekend. Right? But yeah, Mariah May, there is no reason for me to believe that she would choose to re-sign other than if she gets a boatload of money. Because I don't think WWE is going to overpay for her. Because I don't necessarily think she's all that needed in WWE, personally. But she is a big name right now. She's also super attractive. Right? Like, super attractive. I think she would immediately become one of the hottest members of the roster that will draw eyes to the product. I think there's a lot of reasons why you would bring her in. I don't necessarily think that she's 100% needed, though. But so she's either going to get overpaid by Tony Khan, or she gets to the dreamland, which is WWE, and proves me correct again that the dream is always WWE. But this is the danger Tony Khan lives in, where you make new superstars, their contracts come to an end, they're not going to re-sign with you. This is what we saw with someone like a Cody Rhodes, who got to the top of the game, and when it was time for him to make a decision on when to leave, he chose WWE because that was always the dream And the reason he went to AEW was to rehabilitate his career to get to a point where WWE had to sign him and use him the way he wanted to be used. And so you get someone like Mariah May who comes into AEW and she gets made into a superstar. And now her contract's up. And you don't think she's not going to use AEW as the springboard that it is to get to the promised land, which is WWE? Like, come on now. Come on now. That's exactly what's going to happen. Speaking of other news, Saraya is officially a free agent. This one I could actually not give two craps about. I don't think she wrestles ever again. I don't think she's comfortable, just from what I've seen. I don't think WWE ever clears her to wrestle, but she would be very useful in the PC as a trainer on some on-screen role, whether it's NXT or the main roster, as a manager or a valet or a GM. I think she would be very useful in that role. And so if Saraya gets signed by WWE, I'm not going to hate it. I'm not going to hold her to the same level that a lot of wrestlers do, where like, she's like, she was important, but I don't think she was the reason the women at Revolution became successful. I don't hold her in that regard. I just don't. I don't think she was all that special to me. I think the Women's Revolution was going to happen no matter what. And really, you have to look at people like Trish and Lita as the start of it. In the time when it was Divas wrestling and we got good matches out of Lita and Trish. I think you then look at someone like a Victoria, who even in that same range, someone like a Gail Kim, which, by the way, just news with her, she gets fired from TNA, which is an awful decision. Can you imagine coming into WrestleMania, WWE signing Gail Kim and Saraya as like a trainer role, put them in NXT where the women's division is the front and focal point of NXT as trainers and on-screen roles? Gail Kim and Saraya would be perfect for that, to get those new girls trained in the style of WWE would be perfect for them. I don't think that, though, Saraya is one of these like trailblazers, just personally. I think she was in there were people before her, like Lita, like Trish, like Gail Kim, Awesome Kong, that led to the same type of wrestling that Saraya did. Now, she's great. She started at a super young age. I'm not going to take away from her career. She's been through a lot of hardships and personal demons. Not going to take away from her career. She's a good wrestler. I just don't want to put her as like a trailblazer to start the women's revolution, because I think it was already starting around the same time. AJ Lee, as much as people hate on the Bellas, I think Nikki Bella is just as responsible, because she went out there and did her best at a time when people didn't. Someone like Caitlyn, these people were putting on really good matches. Oksana, right, were putting on great matches when in a Divas era. Again, someone like Victoria, stuff like that, right? So she was just another one of those that led to the revolution. If she gets signed by WWE, if as long as it's not an active wrestler role, I'd be fine with it. I can't tell you how awesome this would be, though, if Chelsea Green did an open challenge at Mania and Paige did one final match in WWE and won the title and then like never defended it. Though she would have to be the good girl, because we already have that. That is Chelsea's gimmick, right? So we would need her to be, I don't know. It's one of those things where I think Chelsea could drop it to someone like a Nikki Bella in an open challenge or someone like a Paige in an open challenge, right? I think that would be cool. But let's talk about AEW Dynamite. And I'm already hearing the people, oh, we too deep. Why do you watch if you don't like the show? Why do you talk about it if you don't like the show? Why do you torture yourself if you don't like the show? Guys, first off, it's not torture. Two reasons. I watch AEW because it gives me something to talk about. As a wrestling podcaster, I need to talk about the product that people watch. And people do watch AEW, and I'm sure that that would draw more eyes to my podcast if I talk about AEW. But I'm not going to sugarcoat it and defend everything that Tony Khan does because of trying to get viewership. I'm going to tell you how I feel. I critique AEW not out of a place of hate. I don't hate the product. It's out of a place of, you guys were so good. Early AEW was good book, was good product. It was different. It wasn't for me, but it was compelling. Something in the last 3 years has changed with how you run the company, because this show was the absolute most boring show I have ever watched in my life. Just absolute boring. There was no action. I heard it described perfectly that AEW does television the way that like CSI does television, right? Where each episode stands by itself and has zero connection to the next episode. And that's exactly how I feel with AEW. That there's no week-to-week storylines. It's just, what are we going to do this week? And we'll reset it next week. That's what this feels like to me. Now, that's not the whole show. There are pieces of it that do connect. But a majority of the show, like, we get this random match with Kenny Omega, where he fights Blake Christian with the gayest nickname ever of Vanilla Baby. And this match absolutely has zero meaning for anything. There was no reason for Kenny Omega to wrestle. You could have used the 7 minutes that this match took up to build the storyline to Dynasty. And give me a longer promo between Speedball and Kenny Omega. Granted, do we really want that, though? Because Speedball has about the amount of charisma as this cup right here. That was a really cringy promo, I'm going to be honest with you. Kenny Omega, to me, what happens is AEW knows they have this thing. And Kenny Omega does the same thing every time he's on Dynamite. Right, he gets in a match, he hits his three moves, he does a little promo thanking the fans, and then he ends the show with like, I gotta bid you adieu, bang, or whatever the fuck he says. He's a circus monkey, and he's got to hit all the pop points that pop the fans, and that's what this feels like whenever he's out there. Right. The MJF segment was really good. The question, though, that I have is, what is the end goal? Is the end, because here's what I don't think, and I'm sure AEW fans have thought about this. But this appears to me like how they're going to get the Young Bucks back on TV for All In, where All In will end up being the Young Bucks versus Lashley and Benjamin for the titles. And MJF versus Hangman Page again. That's what this appears to be to me. Or it's going to be some sort of like non-title match. Elite versus Hurt Syndicate. MJF, Lashley, and Benjamin versus Hangman Page and the Young Bucks. And maybe by that point, Cedric's on TV. And so it's 4-on-4, and you add like Okada to it for the Elite. And it's going to be something stupid, though. Okada's going to fight Omega at All In, so that doesn't make sense. But you see what I'm saying, right? This appears like the way you're going to get the Young Bucks back on TV, right? So that's what I think the end goal of this is. So that's the question, is like, what is the end goal? But also, like, no one's surprised that the Hurt Syndicate is over, because MVP, Lashley, and Shelton Benjamin are professionals who understand the business and have been on TV for 20 plus years, right? But let me tell you something. Once Big Bill and that promo, the word of the day is beach. If I had to hear bitch one more time in that promo, they said it like 7 times. That was a cringy promo. Very cringy. Other things that, am I the only one who thinks Toni Storm is cringe? Speaking of cringe, she does this backstage vignette with about her and Thunder Rosa tagging. And it seems like every week her promos are sexually motivated. Thunder tits. Cool. That gets a little pop from the 12-year-olds that are watching this program. But someone like me, like that doesn't get me over. That, like, if I'm sitting at Warner Brothers and I have Toni Storm cutting a promo like she did like 2 or 3 weeks ago where she talks about orgies, I'm sitting there like, what? This is what I'm paying billions of dollars for? Is sexually laced promos for no reason? She called the team Thunder Tits. And it, cool, it gets a little pop. The sickos like it. But this gimmick's cringy. Her promos are cringy. I don't necessarily find Toni Storm to be all that appealing. Am I the only one who feels that way? Right? We still have had zero reason behind Penelope and Megan Bain being a tag team. What is this going on here? Why are you not telling me who she is, what she's doing, why this partnership is here? Swerve must win the title at Dynasty. He must get the title off of Moxley. But this promo was just as cringe as the rest of the show to me. This felt like a pissing contest on who was more hardcore, who's willing to kill themselves quicker. That's what this felt like to me. It was a cringy promo. It was, right? But Swerve must win the title at Dynasty. You got to get it off of Moxley. He's literally killing the product. And then the last thought is, can someone tell me how this show is any better than any show Vince wrote and produced in 2019 WWE? It's the same type of shit. None of the episodes connect week to week. It's just random shit for the sake of random shit. Someone tell me how it's better. Now we go to NXT. Now NXT this week was kind of mid to me. It was a standard NXT episode. Wasn't anything to write home about. Right, it was really focused on Stephanie Vaquer, getting her over with getting 2 successful title defenses. Stax will eventually turn on Tony D, is a thought that came to mind while watching, and that's going to be a good storyline. The question is leading, I think the team is called Dark State, this team that keeps, you know, the PC guys that keep jumping out and attacking. The question is, who is the leader? I think it's Trick Williams. A lot of people think it's Javon Evans, but I do think it's Trick Williams. I think the NXT tag division, we had a great match between Hank and Tank and Tyson DuPont and his tag team partner's name? TNT, I think, is the name of the team. The guys that you walk around with. Tyreek, is it Tyreek Igwe? I don't remember. But they walk around with Wesley. I love both of these teams. What a match this was. This was a great match. Stand and Deliver, to me, looks like it's going to be another multi-man match. I think it's going to be Oba, Javon, and Trick Williams in the Stand and Deliver match. That's where I think we're headed. And I'm not too excited about that. Because, again, it's another multi-man match for no reason. And then the last question is, what's next for Stephanie Vaquer? Is it going to be Jordynne Grace? Again, this could be a triple threat. This could be Jordynne Grace, Jada Parker, and Stephanie Vaquer for the women's title. Again, you start to see these reliances on the same tropes when Triple H books, right? Because let's be honest, Triple H is probably having some say in how NXT works. I got to call Sean out for the same shit I call Triple H out on. This dependence on multi-man matches irritates me. So let's go to react to it, and we'll end the show. Mandy Rose put out a tweet saying it's pathetic that she gets forgotten about being the NXT double champion. But here's the thing, Miss Mandy Rose. Apparently you don't understand what being a double champion means, because you weren't a double champion. You won a unifying match. You only held one title, which was the NXT Women's Championship, that got mixed with the UK title. You weren't a double champion, right? So let's clear that up. You weren't a double champion. You were a unified champion, right? Right. So this is why you never take anything serious from people who sell their butthole pics on the internet. Stick to putting your butthole on the internet. You and Lacey Evans can do that. That's fine. But stick there. Stay in that lane. Don't embarrass yourself even more than you already are. Just stick to that lane. And that's literally all I got to say. That is react to it this week. Like this is a stupid tweet. You weren't a double champion. You were a unified champion. Stick to putting your butthole pictures on the internet, and let us watch wrestling. You stick to doing what you're doing. All right. Hope y'all enjoyed this episode. We will see you on the next episode of the Slapping Me Wrestling Podcast. Until then, y'all have a great rest of your day. So hit that subscribe, come along for the ride. AEW, WWE, we're always on side. From fantasy booking to baddies that slay, Slapping Me Wrestling every Tuesday.